Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 34 through 39. God's judgment on Elam for its ferocity and pride. The Noahic covenant called for men to value human life so as to avoid excessive violence and not to commit murder. The reason why capital punishment in Genesis 9:5 is part of that Genesis 8:20 to 9:17 covenant. And incidentally, the Noahic covenant is for every human being on the earth today, because all human beings today came through Noah and his sons. And of course, Noah's wife and his sons' wives, the eight people who were on the ark. So the Noahic covenant covers every human being who's alive today. However, the Elamites, like the Ishmaelites, were fierce and warlike, according to Ezekiel 32, verse 24. Functioning in violation of the Noahic covenant, a people of ferocity and pride who dwelt east of Babylon in what today is modern Iran. God's judgment was to fall on Elam, likely primarily at Christ's return, providing a lesson for us. I want to read this interesting section, then we'll get into it. Jeremiah 49, verses 34 through 39. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And upon Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds. And there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life. And I will bring calamity upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. And I will set my throne on Elam, and will destroy them thence, the king and the princes, saith the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord." The Lord. Okay, the nation Elam, located east of Babylon in what is now modern Iran, was known for its archery skills and for causing terror to other nations due to its ferocity. The Elamites, very warlike, and they made a habit out of just attacking just about anybody in the area all the way around them. They made life difficult. So this prophecy was given in the first year of Judah's final king Zedekiah, according to Jeremiah 49 and 34, when Jeremiah was predicting against opposing prophet Hananiah that Babylon would capture Judah and hold its people for 70 years of captivity. You'll remember that Jeremiah was predicting that Babylon is going to come and hold them captive. And Hananiah said, no, that's not going to happen. They're going to... Even the captives that are in Babylon now, they're going to come back within a couple of years. So Jeremiah had built a model yoke around his neck of wood, and Hananiah came up and he broke that model that was around Jeremiah's neck, and he essentially called Jeremiah a liar in public. And because of that, the Lord killed Hananiah within 2 years. Very interesting. Well, significantly, there is evidence that Babylon defeated Elam in 596, just 1 year after this prophecy. But the people of Elam became part of the Persian Empire that would later conquer Babylon, according to Daniel chapter 8, verse 2. In other words, God was likely looking beyond not only the fall of Judah to Babylon, not only the fall of Babylon to Persia, but to a later fall of Elam, indicating his great sovereignty over the world's nations. In fact, as we get into this, you're going to find out that the Lord probably was looking at overcoming the Elamites at the second coming of Christ. So it looks like the Lord has some unfinished business with the people in the area of Iran. Now that would make sense, because as we know right now, Iran is exporting terrorism on a global basis. So she's, you know, biting the bullet in regards to God. We know that Russia's going to get it when Russia comes down with Gog and Magog and comes down into the land of Israel, and God is going to destroy her during the Great Tribulation with fire and brimstone. But he's also apparently going to do something with the Elamites who are in current-day Iran. Accordingly, the Lord of hosts And it's interesting, the word hosts, actually, the word host means army, the Lord of armies, and it always is used in reference to God being sovereign over all armies, whether the armies of Israel or the armies of the Gentile nations. So the Lord of hosts, the sovereign God of the world's military forces, predicted the day when he would break the bow of Elam, for which it was famous in its might. Now this should cause us to be amazed, because Iran is a very forceful nation today. And it's, you know, you don't want to pick a fight with her unless you're prepared to use some nuclear weapons, because they got a lot of people and they're very willing to fight. In fact, they say that half of the population in Iran right now is under the age of 30. So they've got a tremendous military force that's there. Well, God would bring on the nation of Elam people from the four quarters of the heavens, people from every direction, and they would so scatter the Elamites that they would flee into every other nation. That's an amazing prophecy, because this is a people, remember, that is warlike. It's normally the bully of the area that beats up on the other nations around it. But God's going to bring people from all over to attack the Elamites and cause them to be terrified and them to scatter. Now, God would cause the Elamites to be dismayed before their enemies who sought their lives. Just punishment for the terror they used to strike in the hearts of other nations in violation of the Noahic covenant. For God would bring on them the calamity caused by his fierce anger, as he brought on them the sword of punishment for their ferocity against other nations. In verse 37, I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, before them that seek their life, and I will bring calamity upon them, my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. It's interesting, the judgment of God is always just. And often it is commensurate to the sin. The Elamites, known for centuries of ferocity, so God is going to judge them with his ferocity and his anger. It's interesting. God doesn't skip a beat, and God's sovereign. And so this is a very powerful nation, but it's going to come under the judgment of the Lord. Evidence that this judgment may occur at Christ's second coming is found in Jeremiah 49, verse 38, where the Lord promises to set his throne in Elam and supervising its destruction. I got this from the Bible Knowledge Commentary Old Testament section. The very fact that God's going to set his throne there indicates that Christ, this is when he comes back and he has his throne. He's God on the earth and everything. So apparently he's going to set some authority there in that area, and it's going to destroy them. So in other words, God in Jeremiah's era, when he was being critiqued for predicting Judah would be captive by Babylon for 70 years, and knowing of Babylon's fall to Persia with its Elamites, was looking ahead to the day when he himself would administer judgment on Elam, likely at Christ's second coming, for Elam's ferocity and pride in violation of the Noahic covenant. What's interesting, we don't know of any situation where the Elamites attacked Israel and went after the people of Israel. But that doesn't make any difference. God is sovereign over all the nations. All nations are supposed to be subject to him. So the Elamites, whether they did wrongs against God's people in Israel or not, is irrelevant. They were doing wrongs against other Gentiles, so God's going to judge them for that. So, nevertheless, this is amazing. I find this in verse 39. In his mammoth grace, God promised to restore Elam in the latter days, to gather its people from the nations to which they had been scattered in judgment. God would still cause them to return to their ancient homeland of Iran and bless them in the end, when they finally repented of their sins of pride and ferocity towards others and believed in God, the God of Judah. The millennial kingdom is going to be just a wonderful time. You're going to have believers from all of these nations. And you can understand, these are believers in the nation of what is now Iran. There's some GIs who were in Iraq when they had invaded the area. And apparently there are groups of Christians there in Iraq. They're heavily persecuted by the Muslims. But some of these believers in Christ in Iraq came up to GI soldiers and started to witness to them. And it caused the GI soldiers just to break down. I mean, here these are people who are giving them testimonies about Jesus Christ. And they know these people are suffering terribly. And the demeanor of these Christians is very meek, very humble, very kind. It's amazing the transformation that occurs in the heart, no matter what nation you're in. And someday you're going to have people in Iran that are going to be like that. They're going to be gentle. In fact, there are many of them now. There are many people in Iran coming to Christ. I think the church is growing at a rate of 19% a year in Iran right now. And the leaders there don't know what to do with it because it's supposed to be an Islamic republic. But you got a lot of Christians all over. And these are Christians in the middle class, the lower echelons, and so forth, the people out in the country. And eventually, this revival is beginning to creep into the cities. So it's an amazing thing. It's a big embarrassment to the Muslims who are in power. But nevertheless, this nation is going to repent and is going to be restored. So the lesson is, regardless of the great amount of time involved in getting to the judgment of Elam, regardless of its seemingly endless longevity at the time, for its ferocity and pride toward other nations in violation of the Noahic covenant, God would yet set his throne in Elam to administer judgment, causing its people to be scattered into all the world's other nations in great terrorizing judgment. Nevertheless, when they repented, God would restore the fortunes of Elam, bringing its people back to their homeland in Christ's future messianic kingdom. So, an application. May we examine our lives to see if we are in any way needlessly frightening other people or holding an attitude of haughtiness and pride toward them, and repent to avoid God's discipline that forces us to be frightened of his discipline and humbled before him. It's interesting. God wants us to be gentle people. He wants us to be kind people. He wants us not to be bullies, not to be making other people frightened. We need to be the most approachable people on earth. Number two, may we trust that God eventually deals with all sin, even if it is as late as Christ's second coming, that we not become discouraged at facing evil in our day as Jeremiah faced in being opposed by a false prophet, Hananiah. God's judgment will come in time. As we look at Iran today, a nation that exports global terrorism, may we look beyond its great current sin to appreciate the grace of God that will restore this nation's people in Christ's messianic kingdom. In doing so, may we rejoice in God's grace to us in forgiving and restoring us to blessing through Christ's atonement. You know, it's amazing when you see wickedness in nations that are around us, to recognize if we had grown up in that nation, where would we be? Would we be involved in the wickedness? There's a high likelihood that we would be. Our forefathers, Anglo-Saxons and so forth, up in Europe were known as the barbarians, according to the Romans, because they were wild and uncouth and lawless and drunkards and so forth. And God, in his grace, saw fit that the gospel would get to our forefathers, and we have been privileged to have the gospel so that it can affect us, and Western civilization has been built around that, so we're very grateful. So we need to remember the grace of God is a wonderful thing, and it's because of God's grace we stand in him. So God wants us then to be gracious, kind, and considerate and to other people.